I hope by now most of you know how much I love the gospel. I've geeked out to you more than once on some Greek translation I found that changed my mind about Christ. And I've gotten myself all worked up about apostolic poverty and the understanding of miracles. But today I'd like to take a step back from our gospel lesson in order to explore with you all the richness that our Hebrew tradition provides us as we seek to follow Christ. Today, I'd like to explore with you the transformative power of God through our Old Testament lesson on the story of Naaman. I hope you remember back that far in the worship service. Or if you snuck in just before the reading from Luke, you probably missed it. But fear not, the story is a familiar one, and hopefully my understanding of the text will give you enough clues to figure out what the story is all about. Or at least what I think the story is all about. In our lesson from 2 Kings, we meet Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram. He is influential and affluent. He is arrogant and angry. And he is in need of restoration and healing. Although a mighty warrior, Naaman is plagued by leprosy, a condition which would have left him destitute, without military rank, and without social status. Just to give you a little historical background, this army that Naaman is the commander of is the same army that just killed the father of the king of Israel, who we also meet in the story today. So you can understand why this king of Israel might tear his clothes when that same army commander requests healing from him. After all, Naaman, the commander of that army, is responsible for his father's death. They're sworn enemies. They are at war with one another. And Naaman's king has the audacity to write to him and ask for him to heal his commander. This story is filled with irony, and that's just the beginning. Therein enters the slave girl, the one who served Naaman's wife. And like most servant girls in the Bible, she is not given a name. All that we know of her is that she is young and a citizen of Israel, who was captured as a prisoner of war and brought to Naaman's wife to be her servant. This servant girl, ironically, is the one who initiates the healing process for the man who holds her captive. Having come from Samaria, where she lived with her people, Israel, she knows that there is a prophet there who can cure Naaman of his leprosy. Word spreads quickly through the household, and before you know it, Naaman is asking his king to request healing on his behalf. By way of a servant girl, Naaman is sent on a journey of restoration that he would have never known possible without her witness. I told you the story was filled with irony. But wait, it gets better. Naaman, knowing nothing about this prophet of Israel, Elisha, assumes that this man of God will work in the way that everyone else does. Naaman will surely pay him for his services of healing, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. Then the prophet will come out and meet him and wave his hands over his leprous skin and call on the name of God, and Naaman will be healed. Naaman, in his pride, expects that his wealth and power will obtain him a cure. That is what he expects, but that is not the response he receives. Instead, Elisha sends a messenger to Naaman, not to receive payment for the healing, but instead to prescribe a simple formula of restoration. Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. Naaman is outraged by the request, go to the Jordan, wash in that filthy foreign river. The way of healing he expects is not the way of healing he receives, and so he is outraged. Ironic, isn't it? It's not as if he is not being offered healing. He's just not being offered the type of healing that he expects to receive, the kind of healing he feels he deserves. Have you ever been angered by someone's offering because it was not what you expected to receive? For example, maybe a colleague invites you over for dinner, and you think to yourself, I deserve a nice steak dinner. Surely for me, my host will make steak and potatoes and maybe even get Hank's cheesecake for dessert. Only to find upon arrival a little note posted on their door that says, meet me at that Thai restaurant down on Grand when you get a chance. Naaman was angry not because healing was not offered, but because the type of healing he expected was not offered. You would be angry in that situation not because you weren't going to eat dinner that night, but because you were not offered the meal you expected to receive. You were offered something new, something different, something you had already decided was not as good as what was familiar to you. Enraged, Naaman turned with the intentions of going home unhealed. When another group of servants come to plead with him to reconsider. Ironically, in all of the story, it is the servants, the marginalized ones, the ones with little intrinsic value in society, who compel Naaman to seek healing. The ones who are given no freedom and no authority are the ones who lead the one who lords over them to restoration of life. They say to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was wash and be clean? It's simple, really. God is not asking you to do something difficult, so just go and do the simple thing, which has the power to transform you. You will notice in the story that Naaman doesn't make a profession of faith by which he is then healed. He simply washes in the river as he is told, and he is restored. He does the simple thing that God asks of him, and he is cured of his leprosy. Now, if we kept reading past verse 14, we would see that what follows next is Naaman's conversion and the beginning of his journey of faith in the God of Israel. But it's important for us to note that Naaman's faith comes after his restoration, and not before. It's ironic, isn't it? We've been conditioned to believe that faith is what heals us, that believing that something will happen makes it so, that God will meet our expectations because we deserve it. On the contrary, this story is telling us that being faithful is actually what gives us our faith. Trusting that God knows best how to heal us is what makes us believe. Now, I don't want to lose you in that statement. It's not just semantics. The story is not saying to us, believe so that you will be healed, but rather, go and do simple things that God asks you to do so that you may then believe in the transformative power of God. This passage is a new take on Jesus' message of your faith has made you well. It tells us that listening to God's call to be made well will give us faith. Naaman could have walked away from a simple task that led to his restoration simply because he did not believe that washing in a filthy foreign river was the right way to be healed. But instead, he listened to those servants, and he did the simple thing that then led him to wholeness of life and eventually to faith in God. Sometimes faith is hard, and believing in something we cannot see becomes a game of hide and seek, where we look for God and wonder if we should have just counted to 10 instead of 100 before we went seeking. Sometimes believing that God will heal us and restore us to health after years of suffering, it is just not authentically possible. And in those moments of our lives, this passage serves as good news, because it tells us that God does not heal us, transform us, restore us only when we have faith, but so that we may come to believe. Jesus did not save us because we are faithful, but because he wanted us to understand the love of God and to believe in God's power over hatred and fear and disease and violence and death. Listen for God to give you something simple to do. It may lead you into believing again. Or maybe, like Naaman, for the first time. Step beyond your comfort zone. Listen to those who are thought to be beneath you. Try something new, something foreign, something simple. Stop expecting that God will give you what you want, when you want it, how you want it. And start looking for God to give you what you need by way of unexpected people, in unexpected places, and in unexpected ways. Do the easy things right now, the little things that have the power to heal, transform, and restore you, so that later, when God asks for you to do something difficult, your faith will be great enough to carry you through. Amen.
Amen.